Alaska has an estimated 30,000 brown bears statewide, give or take a bit, and that according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We also have over 98% of all brown bears in the United States and over 70% of those found across North America. Keep in mind, in saying that, that what we call brown bears and what are also called grizzlies in other places are one and the same, but for their diet and location. I have always thought, and have mentioned on here a time or two, that one of the cool things about living where we do is the presence of brown bears. At times it seems like we have bears all around us, and in pretty substantial numbers. Frankly, it seems like that right now, at least around Dillingham, and I'll speak to that more in just a moment. The fact is, 30,000 animals is really not that many animals across a landmass as large as ours, even if populations in many places are either stable or very healthy, and population densities vary wildly across our state. In areas with plenty of food, such as Kodiak Island or along the Alaska Peninsula, brown bears can be found in densities as high as one bear per square mile, while north of the Brooks Range, that number drops to one bear per 300 square miles. Most places, including around our area, fall somewhere in between, though we do trend toward the higher end at something like one bear every 10 or 12 miles. There are a great many strategies to living and dealing with bears. I'd like to touch briefly on a few, which have probably been covered before, and dwell on one in particular. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. In fact, bear safety was a topic of conversation a few months back, after a few bear attacks that happened across our state in a short period of time. I chose that as a topic partially because of those attacks, and also because I saw a few posts locally on an area social media site, the Trading Post, in which people had been seeing bears around town and were concerned about bears as a danger to community residents. I was a bit bugged at the time by a few folks who felt like the first and only solution is to shoot bears that come into town and make their presence known. While that is sometimes the route it can go with individual bears, the majority of them are just trying to find food like any other animal. They have a healthy enough fear of people and try to steer clear of situations involving people. Of course, those that turn and run look pretty similar to the ones that are more belligerent, so I do understand when people have concerns. It's not like they have signs on their heads distinguishing non-threatening bears from bad bears. During that bear safety episode earlier in the summer, I did a quick list of things to do to avoid bad situations and things to do if you find yourself in a bad situation. Frankly, the biggest thing you can do is to always be bear aware while in your surroundings and avoid specific situations altogether when possible, like staying away from food sources or sows with cubs. When camping, keep a clean camp and keep your food area separate from your sleep area. When traveling in areas with bears, make a lot of noise, keep the wind at your back, and travel with groups when possible. Carrying protection is a very good idea, be it a non-lethal form, such as an air horn or pepper spray, or something lethal, such as a shotgun with really big slugs. The trick with tools like a shotgun or pepper spray is to put in the practice ahead of time, so you deploy them with supreme confidence if in fact you ever have to use them. Crunch time is no time for any sort of doubt to creep in or for ironing out glitches in technique. So plan and practice ahead of time. I guarantee it's time and money well spent. One thing I didn't really talk about at the time, possibly due to time constraints, is the use of a bear fence, or more accurately, an electrified fence designed to keep bears out of a given area. I had fences in mind recently for a couple of reasons. First is there seems to be quite an uptick in bear activity around Dillingham lately, as evidenced by a great many mentions on Facebook. Most of those mentions involve bears getting into garbage at residences around town. This is actually pretty understandable. From a bear's perspective, the clock is ticking on putting on fat for winter, and there's a whole lot to munch on in garbage cans around town. So this really shouldn't come as any sort of surprise that bears are really active and hungry. Also, big game hunting seasons are open, and if you do harvest an animal, say a moose or caribou, you need to be able to safely deal with the meat in what's often prime bear country. If that means shoot it, roll it into a skiff and head to town, well, maybe no biggie. But an electric fence can help to keep the bears at bay whether in protecting the fruits of your hunting labors or simply by keeping them out of the things around your home that you don't want them to get into. A disclaimer, I use bear fences and I do believe they work. I have never actually seen a bear make contact with one and then turn tail and leave. I did hear what I believe might have been one that hit a fence on a small gravel bar I was camping on one night on the Cockwalk River. I use fences from time to time for my job with summer camps involving kids. I use them personally to put around hanging game meat and to put around campsites when camping with my family in areas that feel like it would be a good idea. I often have a fence with me and decide not to use it, but it's there just in case. When I first started to look into the use of bear fences, I was heavily influenced by what I read by Dr. Tom Smith, a former research ecologist specializing in brown bears with the U.S. Geological Survey here in Alaska. Electric fences have been used with large animals for a number of years, and I'm referring to things like cows and horses, and keeping them contained within an area. The same idea can be used to keep things out, such as pests out of a garden or bears out of your garbage, camp, or game meat. And something that's been a bit of a change in the past couple of decades is that the components needed to put together an effective remote or smallish area fence have gotten smaller and less expensive while still remaining effective. In other words, for not a lot of money, you can have a smallish fence that works and works well. Commercially available kits having everything you'd ever need to be up and running can be bought in a great many places. Do a bit of research online, and the odds are you'll get a good product for your money. I tend to be a bit frugal, and after doing some digging on fences and how they work, I've put together my own fences using individually purchased components, and in doing so, some of my fences cost maybe half what a ready-made fence kit would cost. Electric fences are comprised of three basic components: wires suspended on poles that carry the electric charge, an energizer or charger that provides the juice and pushes power through the fence wire, and a grounding system. This is most often a metal rod sunk into the ground and connected to the charger. A properly grounded system is critical, and not all soils conduct electricity well, something to keep in mind. Most systems deliver their electricity in a series of pulses, something like a heartbeat. The reason for this is that momentary pause between pulses allows an animal to break free and make tracks for the next county. A continuous current could cause the animal, through involuntary muscular contractions, to remain locked onto the fence. Not at all what you want to have happen. I mentioned that bear fences can be fairly small, mobile, and easy to set up. The chargers I use make use of two D-sized batteries. I carry extra batteries, though for most of my trips, a single set will last just fine. The charger itself is smaller than a box of snack crackers. Rolls of wire can be gotten online for $15, with more than enough wire to put around a fair-sized camp. Dr. Smith says that two strands are fine, according to his research, but I often put up three. I read about a guy on a hunting forum once that went with two, and apparently had a bit too much clearance under the bottom wire. As a result, they wound up with a bear cub in camp that snuck in under that wire. Fortunately, it left before Mama showed up, but that story was enough that if I decide I need a fence at all, I spend a few extra minutes and string together three strands, not two. Again, properly grounding the whole thing is critical. I use various lengths of ground rod, depending on where I'm at and how I traveled to get there. It's worth experimenting in your yard to become proficient with setting up a fence and experimenting to see what works best. The amount of electricity flowing through a typical system really isn't a whole lot, but it's more than enough to dissuade a bear from coming in. It's more of a sting than anything, and most bears that approach are doing so out of curiosity. It's not at all uncommon that the first part of them to make contact with the fence is their nose, a very tender target indeed. According to Dr. Smith, once the bear gets jolted, it will usually huff, bawl, and run quickly away. I would add that, according to what I've read, Dr. Smith, testing fences in some very bear-infested parts of our state, never had an electric fence fail to keep bears out. All that said, nothing is totally foolproof, and only a fool would believe that to be the case. Playing the numbers, though, I firmly believe bear fences are effective and can be of solid benefit to those who use them. Again, I don't use them all the time myself. In fact, for camping, I doubt I use them even a third of the time. But for some camping situations, for keeping them out of things around the home, and for keeping them away from your moose or caribou meat, bear fences are, I believe, a viable, not terribly expensive option, one that helps people and bears to coexist. As we pass these last few weeks and months before they're once again sleeping off another winter, maybe a fence is something to consider adding to your own repertoire. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.